Oh, hey, do you know what we haven't talked about in a while?
Prayer?
Yep. Let's talk about prayer.
Welcome to A Word from Our Outpost.
With Joseph and Crystal Gruber.
A podcast for Catholic disciples who are wrestling to be missionary-minded in their normal, everyday lives.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Lent is upon us.
It is.
Do you notice what we did last week?
We talked about almsgiving.
We didn't call it that, mostly because we weren't thinking ahead.
It's true, but now...
What a happy coincidence.
We are thinking ahead.
We're thinking in time. We are just in time to make it seem like we intended to talk about the three pious counsels of Lent, which are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So last week, if you listened to our talk on giving priorities, we were talking about giving. And this one, we're going to talk about prayer. And as a little bit of a teaser, next week we'll talk about fasting.
Handy. And as you mentioned, these three things go together because they're things that we're encouraged as Catholics to do during Lent.
Because Jesus teaches us to do these things in the Sermon on the Mount. So in Matthew chapter 6, basically the heart of the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about these three acts, almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. And these three practices are actually a pretty incredible thing because they address all of our relationships.
And in particular, they address the disharmony that occurred in three particular kinds of relationships at the fall.
Right. So when we fell, we lost our union with God. We were no longer united to our neighbor. Remember that one of the first acts of fallen man is to blame fallen woman, and the first acts of fallen woman is to blame the lowly serpent. We also lost harmony within ourselves. You know, our intellect no longer saw truth as clearly, our will no longer chose the good as clearly, and our passions were not drawn as perfectly by pure beauty. And prayer, fasting, and almsgiving actually reorders those different relationships. So
when we pray, that brings us back into more right order, more union with God. Almsgiving reorders us towards right relationship with our neighbor. In particular, I think we can see this most fruitfully when we are giving to somebody else, we become literally invested in their life, whether that be through an organization that's maybe serving the poor or a particular missionary or a parish community, but that orders us to think about our neighbor more.
Well, and to express that goodwill toward them in a tangible way, to make concrete that willing of the good of the other, not just like, oh, I'm thinking well of you, but actually to make the act concrete in almsgiving. And then fasting reorders us with regard to ourself.
And we'll explore that more next week.
Yeah.
So
prayer is the next topic. And I thought it would be fun to dive a little bit more deeply into the section on prayer in Matthew's gospel, where Jesus actually teaches us how to pray.
So this is where he gives us the Our Father.
Yeah. So this has various names, the Pater Noster, the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. I think those are the three names that it has.
And Our Father in a particular way really helps with the reordering of our desires. So we mentioned that prayer reorders us to right relationship with God. And when our desires are more rightly ordered, that allows us to be in union, more in unity with God.
Yeah, right. Because prayer, God doesn't need our prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We need to pray in order to become who we are. And so when we pray rightly, we become who we're meant to be. So it's not like, oh, if I pray more, God does better. But actually, if I pray more, I mean, this isn't the point of prayer, but this is something good to know about prayer, is that it does change us. St. Thomas Aquinas, when he's talking about the Our Father, talks about how it not only teaches us what to desire, but teaches us the proper ordering of our desires, right? And this is a really cool thing. St. Augustine talks about how virtue can be called the ordo amoris, the right ordering of our loves. Mm. So when we love rightly, we actually have virtue. When we're consistently willing the good in each and every act, when our loves are in line with reality. And the Our Father is actually the prayer that teaches us what that right order is. And does that make sense so far?
Yes.
Great.
So what is the right order that it teaches us?
So the different, you know how Jordan Peterson has this book called The 12 Rules for Life?
Mm-hmm.
You might say that these are Jesus's 7 rules for life, because these are the 7 ordering principles for our lives. There are 7 petitions in the Our Father. What?
I'm just remembering that they correspond to 7 other things in that sort of way.
Yeah. So the first 3 are in relationship to God. So Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, is the first petition. We are asking that our Father's name be hallowed, which is a really cool thing, because his name, because he is our Father, is also our name.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this odd sort of, like, we want the family name, which you, Father, have in a preeminent way. We want the family name to be truly respected as holy by us and by the whole world. Like, we want your name, Father, to be known. We want you to be known as Father throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this has a real cool correspondence, because this is an incredible act of faith, right? I'm not going to unpack these very much. I'm just going to trust the people will go along with me on this one. The second petition, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. This is a really cool petition, because this is the expression of hope that we have, that we know that the world is not as it should be right now. And we know that there are competing and contradicting systems of power. But we have hope that in the coming of the kingdom, everything will be made right. And so this is the expression of hope in our hearts, that he will actually institute his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the third petition is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And his will is perfect love. And so when we will, and when we desire, when we ask that his will be done, we're asking for perfect love to play out in the world.
And this is so cool, because not only, so there's so many layers. The Our Father is the way that Jesus teaches us to pray. So just on a very sort of simplistic, basic level, that's really beautiful. And then that these petitions of hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, correspond to the virtues of faith, hope, and love. So we're in, at the same time that we're asking for the Father's name to be hallowed, for the kingdom to come, for his will to be done, we're also saying, essentially, may I please have faith, hope, and love?
Uh-huh. As a larger thing, we're giving God permission, if we're actually praying this prayer, like, aware of what we're asking for, we're giving him permission to reorder our heart. We're opening our heart up and saying, this is the pattern that you've told me about, Lord. I'm turning to you, and I'm saying, impress upon me this pattern. And then the next 4 petitions, give us this day our daily bread, you know, this sense of provisioning, and recognizing that all good things come from God, and draw us back to God, especially with the resonance that the phrase daily bread has. There's a lot to unpack there, because the Greek and the Latin and the sort of presumed Aramaic are just incredibly rich, phrases, each one of them in their particular language. because there's resonance with the manna that came down from heaven that God provided for the Israelites, and the daily bread, the way in which we say this day, daily bread, this repetition of day actually indicates that it's talking about the next day's bread. That's the Aramaic. And in the, I think it's in the Greek, it's talking about like this super substantial bread. And there's another translation that says, you know, this bread of tomorrow. And this is all based on the fact that on Fridays, when the Israelites were wandering in the desert, they picked up bread not only for that day, but also bread for the Sabbath, so they wouldn't have to collect bread on the Sabbath. And so it was not only the bread of that day, but it was the bread of the next day too. It was bringing in the bread of the rest that God promised them in their freedom that they would experience. That was a huge segue from the virtue that it talks about, which is prudence, or as I like to say, providence, because the word prudence is actually a contraction of the word providence. You just take out the O, you take out the I, turn the V into a U, and you get prudence. That's what happened linguistically. But providence is the virtue of looking toward our future and choosing the means to get to our end. And the Our Father is saying, ultimately, we need to look to God, our Father, to provide for our end.
Mm.
So it's the perfecting of the virtue of prudence.
And trusting that he is capable.
Yeah, it's not a leap of faith, because he has shown himself to be faithful again and again, both in history and in our lives. You know, he is a faithful God,
mm-hmm.
even when we're not. The next one, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, this virtue of justice and teaching us that justice is something that we actually have to understand in light of God's love and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
We know a certain 5-year-old who loves to wander around decrying, it's not fair. And to say, you know, it's not about fairness alone. It's about more than just fairness. Fairness is good, but there's even more to be explored. Justice is a prerequisite for mercy.
And asking to have a growing and maturing understanding of what that justice is and how mercy corresponds to it is part of what we do in the Our Father, which is helpful.
Mm-hmm. Next petition, lead us not into temptation. There is a correspondence with the virtue of courage, that we might be able to face danger, that we might be able to face hardship, and not choose the easy way, right? That we're able to endure. And then the final one, deliver us from evil, is a perfection of temperance.
That seems less clear to me.
So I puzzled about this as well, because I thought, well, maybe Jesus was wrong and everything else lined up. But then he got the last two clauses wrong. But let's see if I can unpack this. We're saying deliver us from evil. Temperance is the desire for, temperance is the virtue of desiring pleasurable things rightly. So not overindulging and not avoiding totally, but pursuing the good things, the good pleasures. So this is primarily, right, the pleasures of food, the pleasures of sensation, especially in the matters of sexuality, right? And we're saying, oh, yeah, so deliver us from evil. Deliver us from a perversion of these things. Deliver us from overindulging these things would be one way to pursue it. I feel like there was another way to pursue that line of attack. Either way, the last two petitions are addressing our passions, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have my notes in front of me about this particular one. So you caught me. You caught me. I'm less than prepared for this one.
I didn't mean to do that. Sorry.
That's okay. No, I should be prepared. You are absolutely right.
But I think this is helpful to see that Our Father as a prayer to look more deeply into, okay, what do we mean when we say these things? This prayer can help to rightly order us towards God. It helps to draw us into the virtues. And when we're drawn into the virtues, we're able to be holier ourselves, which in turn also has a positive effect on our neighbors, presumably. And that's pretty cool thinking about it from a missionary standpoint of, you know, I mean, sometimes that when I pray, I may feel led or end up with the opportunity or have a call to be really bold with a neighbor, whether that be an actual physical neighborhood neighbor or somebody at work. However, a lot of times these things can rightly order us in the virtues. And I think people notice that when we're different because we're virtuous. And something as simple as praying the Our Father can have that kind of impact on a person is pretty cool.
Sorry, I'm still thinking about the temptation and the deliverance from evil. And I think it still does work, right? Real quick. Courage, we need to be able to endure when we are tempted to seek the easy way. Deliverance from evil, again, to not choose pleasure. I think it has to do with pain and pleasure, right? Courage is about being able to withstand pain for the good. And temperance is the virtue to enjoy moderation in pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
I think it still works.
Yeah.
How about this, guys? You can comment on our Facebook page if you have suggestions for how this goes down better than what we just outlined.
I like it.
We have a Facebook page. We don't update it very much. Just once a week when we put out the podcast. But yeah, back to your point that prayer is actually the heart of this, right? And when we become who we're supposed to be, then we can actually be truly on mission. We can be a real missionary outpost.
And even we can't not be.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Well, I think when I am struggling, I feel like, ugh, I have to do this. I there's this sort of feeling of obligation to be nice to people because that's what I should do because I'm trying to follow this Jesus guy. And it becomes a chore. But when I'm really rooted in prayer and really trying to come to know the Father, quite selfishly for my own benefit, but also quite sincerely to know God, that usually lights a fire under my butt. And then now all of a sudden I don't look out the window and see neighbors as some sort of chore that I'm not good at, but rather an opportunity to love that I look forward to and am desiring to be thoughtful and intentional and not, and rightly ordered about. And that's a neat transformation that happens.
Probably worth pointing out also that all of the petitions of the Our Father, like we're asking for God to act in the world for our benefit and for the benefit of everyone else who prays the Our Father, about everyone who is a child of the Father, everyone who's called to be living out sonship or daughtership from the Father. Like we're asking on behalf of everyone, like when we pray, when you said even that, like the selfish part, like we put it in the plural to get us out of the selfishness, mm-hmm. right? Like even if you want this to be a selfish, this is all about me prayer, you can't actually do it if you're praying the Our Father. You have to be praying for your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be praying for my neighbor if I'm actually praying the Our Father. It's a little bit like in the Confiteor, in the, you know, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that there are moments where we're praying for everybody.
Yes.
And sometimes I forget, like, oh, I'm praying this in a communal setting. Everybody else is also a sinner. And in this one, it's like, and everyone else is also called to have this perfecting of their desires. Mm-hmm. And for God's kingdom to be unleashed in this world and for his name to be known and made holy. and for his will to be done. All of these things, that this is all for everyone's benefit. Mm-hmm. That there is not one single soul ever yet conceived that does not benefit from the carrying out of the Our Father's petitions.
So neat. I think that's what we wanted to say about prayer today.
I think so. It's a great prayer. If you guys aren't praying it very much, it's worthwhile praying like at least like 6 times a day with a bunch of Hail Marys in between.
It sounds a little bit like the rosary.
It does sound a little bit like the rosary. I do, like I said a couple of podcasts ago, we realized that this podcast is primarily for Crystal and myself. So if I'm telling you, our listener, maybe you should be praying the rosary more often. What I'm really doing is saying, hey, Joseph, the next time you listen to this podcast, you better be praying the rosary before you finish listening to this podcast. And when we're at Mass and we pray the Our Father, we're praying it at this really high point in the Mass. Jesus came down and turned bread and wine into himself. And then we say the words that he taught us because he desires us to be made like him. Mm-hmm. You know, he is the one whose desires are completely rightly ordered. You know, he desires for his Father's name to be made holy. He desires for his kingdom to come. He desires for his will to be done, right? And he also desires for us to experience what he experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, our loves don't become weaker when they're well-ordered. They become stronger, and they become complementary. We're not in conflict. The well-ordered soul is actually capable of accomplishing all that God has set before him or her. And the unordered soul, we're just less capable.
And it's so consoling to me that something as simple as the Our Father is enough to help with that ordering process. Because, I mean, we could probably podcast for hours on end about prayer in general.
Or even on the Our Father. Apparently, yeah. St. Thomas Aquinas spent like 40 days preaching on it.
Incredible.
I mean, I don't think it were 40 days straight. I think it was like an hour or two a day. But
it's possible. There's just so much to say and so much to unpack.
St. Augustine said that the whole gospel is summarized in the Our Father. He said, you can find everything in the Psalms, everything in the gospel summarized in it. I certainly haven't found all of the Psalms in it yet, but I don't know. I'm young yet. Maybe I have time to find it all.
I hope so. Well, I know we opened with the Our Father.
But should we still close it?
I think it's pretty powerful and pretty cool.
Yeah, let's do it. And just so you know, we are praying this for you, our listener, as well. Because we can't not, because it's Our Father. The plural is a pretty comprehensive plural. With that, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son. Take my hand, let's be on our way. And now finally, I can say that I love you. Yes, I love you.
From our outpost to yours, thanks for listening. And a special thanks to John Mark Skoch.
That's Skoch.
For the music.
Check him out on Spotify.